Okay. Good morning. Today's daf is Bava Kama Daf Beis. We start a new world, I guess. We've been under the Nashim world for a long time. Nezikin is pretty much a totally different world. Just a few brief introductory points. There's a Gemara in Bava Basra that states that Amar Rabbi Yishmael, Harotsha Shiyachim, someone wants to become wise, Yasod B'dinei Mamonos. He should start learning Dinei Mamonos, which is what we're going to be Osekin now. There's no broader or larger piece of Torah. There's more discussions of Dinei Mamonos. Constantly more and more chidushim and dinim and halachas and lamdos flows out from Dinei Mamonos. So Rotsa Yachkim should be osek in Dinei Mamonos. In our Gemara, in our Masech and Daf Lamed, Gemara says, "Man the boy lam havi chasidei." Who wants to become a chassid? If you want to become a chassid, which is, I guess, is a big milah. Mekayim milu de nezikin. You have to be mekayim to learn and understand and make sure you don't violate any of the yisurim of milu de nezikin. So b'schus of the limud of seder nezikin, then we should be zochet to those milas. Yeah, today's daf is being sponsored anonymously in b'schus of refuah shleimah for all those of our community members and our neighbors and our friends who were injured last week in the accident that took place at the Chabad Wonderland. They should all be zochet to refuah shleimah. Also like to keep in mind all of Achenu B'nai Yisrael who are under constant bombardment and who are living lives that are not that shouldn't be, and wish that the Tzahal has a successful day today, whatever that may mean. Bava Kama is one of the first third of what used to be called Maseches Nezikin. Bava Kama is ten Prakim, Bava Metzias ten Prakim, and Bava Basra is ten Prakim. It's broken up into thirds. They all used to be one Masechta, similar to what Maseches Kalim is. Maseches Kalim is also 30 Prakim broken up into thirds. So we start the first half of the first part of Bava Kama, which is Nezikin, which is pretty much the first six Masechas. The first of Prakim, the seventh parak talks about Zeila Vaveda. The eighth, ninth, and tenth parak start going into Chavalah and other types of Hilchos Nezikin. But the first six are essentially one unit of talking about Nezikin. The Gemara begins. Arba Avos Nezikin. There are four principal categories of Nezikin. Okay, and from those we branch off. What are those? The first one is Shor. Right? Person's ox. And it's Labdafka Shor. It means any type of animal that you have or any type of property that you own. It could be a car nowadays. It's a shor, right? So, but there's a machlokas and there's a machlokas by Maroyim on Dav Gimel of the days what the kavana of our Mishnah is. According to Rav, when we say shor, we're talking about keren, which is goring, which is right. We're also talking about shein, which is the damage done by. We're going to learn all the different rules and regulations how you define what one nezek is fits into one category. But Shein is the animal eats it, is eating, goes through the fields and eats. It's not necessarily just that he did something with his teeth, it's that he eats it and he gets hanah from that action, which is what would be a machlokas by biting, whether that's Karen or that's Shein. And then there's Regel, also there's net damage called by walking. Oftentimes the animal just walks and Derech Hilucha it tramples things and does damage. That's what Rav says our Mishnah means, but Shmuel says that our Mishnah, when it talks about Shor, it's only talking about Regel. And he's going to learn the other avos to mean other things. The next category is v'havor. Okay, oftentimes there's a bor. You dig a pit or you remove the covering of a pit, right? And an animal falls into that bor. Then whoever dug the pit, whoever owns the pit, so to speak, they are chayav to misham to the bala behemo at the demei hanezek. And the Mishnah is going to explain that each category has a chumra or a kula that the other category doesn't have. Therefore, you can't learn one from the other. The idea with a bor is that it's not something that goes out and does damage. The damage. The Nisa comes to it. Nevertheless, it's still considered an Avos Nisakin. The next case is Vehamaveh. What's Maveh? According to Rav, this is talking about Adam Hamazik, person's Mazik, Adam Muad La'olam, so you always have to pay Nezak Shalim. According to Rav, it's Maveh. According to Shmuel, this is Shein. Remember, Shmuel said that Shor was only talking about Regel, so therefore he says Maveh talks about is Shein. And the Gemara is later on going to prove all this from Sukkim. And the last category is Vehahether. That's ish, fire, a damage of fire, which means if a person sets fire to something and the fire keeps going out and destroying your chayiv in this case ish, and the issue with that is that even though there's koach achem u'urafo, there's another, by shore, it's only the shore does the damage, but ish, it's not the ish itself that does damage, without the wind pushing the ish, without something else assisting the damager, so to speak, it would be able to do any damage. But nevertheless, even though koach achem mu'uravbo machlokas, or due to the fact that koach achem mu'uravbo is it koach achem mu'uravbo a chumra or a kula, seems to be machlokas in the Rishonim. Nevertheless, even though koach achem mu'uravbo, that's still considered an abos and izikin, and that's why in the irchayev. So now the Mishnah is going to explain why you had to list each four of the categories individually, and you can't learn out one from the other. So the Mishnah says, lo harei hashor karei hamaveh. The dinah by the shore, and we're going to learn like Rav. We'll talk about all this kishor in one bunch. Below harei hashor karei hamaveh, there's a chumra by shore that doesn't exist by maveh, which we're going to say is adam hamazik, and therefore had it just written shore by itself, we wouldn't have been able to learn maveh, and therefore we had to write both. Below harei, and Gemara doesn't say what that is. Tosfos points it out. Below harei hamaveh karei shore, and there's a chumra by maveh. But that doesn't exist by shore. There's something called by Mava that doesn't have by shore, and therefore had just written Mava by itself, we wouldn't have been able to learn the Chiyav shore from Mava. Therefore we had to write also that there's a Chiyav shore. Tosfos points out, in the Maskev Lo Zeh V'Zeh, that by shore and by Mava, the Mishnah doesn't explain the Chumra of each of them, because they say that it's easy to figure out what they are. I guess maybe because if Mave you say is Adam, the Chumra by Adam is that there's actual intent. I don't know, by Shor maybe it's because it's more Shayach than an ox does damage. I guess you can figure out, but the Mishnah doesn't list what the Chumras are, Tosos points out. But they say also, below Zeh V'Zeh, Shor and Mave, they are Chumor, Mishum Sheyesh Bahen Ruachayim. They are at least live. There's maybe some certain type of intent there. There's a live thing taking place there, so that they know what they're doing. Kareish, that's different than Eish, she'ein bo ruachayim. Eish doesn't have a ruachayim, therefore we wouldn't have been able to learn Eish from Shor u'Maveh. Therefore you had to write Eish by itself as well. The lo zeh v'zeh, and these three have a chumra, Shor, Maveh, Eish have a chumra, why? She'darkon leilech u'lahazik. They go out and do damage. That's different than harei bor, like a pit, she'ein darko, as we mentioned before, she'ein darko leilech lahazik. It comes to the bor, it doesn't go out, so you wouldn't be able to learn bor from the other three, because the other three have a chumra that bor does not have. That's why you had to list all four. Tosfos asks, so what's the havamina? The havamina was that you would learn the chiyuv to pay from one from the other. But we know the klal ain't on shemin adin. You can't learn out chiyuvim from kavachomers and whatnot. So Tosfos and a lot of Rishonim will discuss that. But what was the havamina to say that you would have been able to learn the chiyuv from one to another? It would, I guess there's a memetzin or binyanav or whatever it is. It ain't on shemin hadin. Now the Mishnah continues. Mishnah finishes. But what's the tzadah shavah shebehen? What's the comparison of all four of them? Tzadah shavah shebehen shedarkan lahazik. Their mode is to do damage, right? The chaya v'shmirasan alecha, and you're supposed to be careful and guard and watch that no damage takes place. Kisha hizik chav hamazik l'shalim. When they do damage, the damager, the mazik, is chayav to pay. And what's he supposed to pay? Tashlume nezek v'meitav ha'aretz. He has to pay from the iddis, from the choicest of his land. From the best of his land, that's where he has to pay from. But we're starting to point out that meitav ha'aretz is only if he decides to pay from karka. Then he has to pay from iddis. But the Mukayose points out if he pays from metalton, then all metalton is considered iddis. Doesn't have to pay from his diamond ring. He has to pay from any type of metalton that he has. The metalton itself is considered iddis. But if he's paying from karka, then he has to make sure that he pays from iddis. So we just did the Mishnah. The Mishnah tells us that if you do damage, you have to pay. Fine, you have to pay. What's the issue to do damage? The Torah says it's usur to steal. The Torah says it's usur to hit your friend. The Torah says it's usur to wear shatnas. Nowhere does the Torah mention that it's usur to do damage. It's usur to damage anybody. So, it's logic. You're not allowed to damage somebody. But what's the avera that you get? What category does it fit into? So, it's a major. That's the first sugya, the first Ian sugya in Bava Kama, which you can spend, and yeshivas do, spend months on the first daf. Again, we'll do it in 45 minutes. But what's the isur? We'll try to do it in 45 minutes. Okay, thank you, Stewie. But what's the isser for someone doing damage to someone else's property? So the Torah in the Choshen Mishpat Siman Shin Ayin Hey says that just like and this is also a Yad Ramah, sorry, this is also a the Rabbeinu Yonah in Pirkei Avos. Rabbeinu Yonah in Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph, and Pirkei Avos says that just like it's usher to steal, so too it's usher to damage someone's property. And in Siman Shin, sorry,
stealing. You're taking away his property. You're taking away his property now you own it, or taking away his property that no longer exists at all. It's stealing.
The Yad Ramah in Bava Basra Daf Chavav says it's part of the Isra of Lifnei Iver.
I guess that makes sense with the boar. You put a boar out there, it's part of the Isra of Lifnei Iver, because Lifnei Iver, if you take an Isra, the Pashup Shad is you can't put a stumbling block in front of somebody, they trip and fall and get hurt. So too, you can't do something to hurt somebody or damage their property. There's a Rashash in Ksubos, and a lot of other Akronim say the same thing, that it comes from the din of Hashavas Aveda. Because if you have to return a lost item, you see something lost on the street, you have to save your friend's money. If you have to save your friend's money, so Kabbalah Chomer, you can't damage your friend's money. And that's where he learns that from Hashavas Aveda.
There's another Yad Ramah that says it comes from the din of Ahat Lorecha Kamocha. There's a Chuvas Rosh in Klal Kuf Chesim and Yud that says it comes from the din of Darachea Darachei Noam, which is, I think, what most people would think, that you just can't, it just smacks as wrong to be, it's also to damage somebody, to hurt somebody. It comes from Darachea Darachei Noam.
There are others that say that it comes from the din of just a concept of dinim. We have a concept that we're allowed to set up courts and set up the judicial system, and that's the Isser, that's where the Isser comes. But I guess it's just interesting to point out that there is no explicit Isser written in the Torah as to what is the Isser to do damage. Okay. The second sugya that all the Achronim and the Gedolei Achronim and the Rosh Yeshivas all talk about is what is the Mechayev of the Tashlumim for Niskei Mamon? What are you chayiv? You did damage, but what was the root cause of the chayiv? What did you do wrong? Not what was the iser, but what was done that caused you not to have to pay? So the Eben Ezel on Niskei Mamon Halacha Aleph Perik Aleph Halacha Aleph and Simon Yudalid Chidush and Shimon Shkaf and Dibrei Elazar, they all bring down pretty much the same chakira. They all ask: is the chayiv because the owner failed to properly watch his mamon? It's an ish shmira, an improper shmira. Or is the chiyuv because my mamon did damage? Just like I can't do damage, my mamon is like an extension of me. It's my property, and since it did damage, I have to pay. In the words, we quote the words of Rabbi Zalman Meltzer. He says, "Ha'im chiyuv nezikin hu mitzad she'Torah hitila din shmira ala bailim u'michuyavim ba'ad chisaron shmirasan." Is it that the Torah says now that there's a din shmira to watch your property, and you're mechuyav because you didn't do a proper shmira? Oh, or the ha'bailim u'michuyavim l'shalim kishem mamon hizik. You have to pay when your money does damage because it's like you. You did damage, your money did damage. And what's the shmira? Ushmiya he ptur shapatra tor labayim came to shomakaroyu. And shmira is just a ptur. If I did a proper shmira, then I'm potter because then everything else is an onus. So I mean, you can spend days on this. The Achronim go back and forth trying to prove from this gemara, this side, from that gemara, that side. Or Shimon Shkop claims that a nafkamina could be when one was negligent in the shmira. You left the barn door open so the shore can go out easily. That, let's just use the ox. That's the quintessential case. You use the ox. It's easy. If you left the lock open, the door, and so you were negligent. So the shore escapes. Now, before the shore does any nezek, you're mafkir the shore. So no longer belongs to you.
So Shemesh Kup claims that maybe if you mafkir the shore prior to it inflicting damage, according to one side, you'd say ischayev because it was a pshia in the shmira.
You were poshe in the shmira, therefore your chiyuv takes place right away at the time of the pshia.
You can't be mafkir because of the
pshia.
Sorry?
You can't be mafkir because of the
pshia. Well, you can be mafkir, but the hefker doesn't do anything because your chiyuv is midin.
The minute you open the gate.
Right, the minute you right. But he says maybe according to the other side that the nezek has to be done by your property, so here it's not your property. So I saw in the Sefer Sukkos David by Rav David Kviat, who's a contemporary Rav in Borough Park, he says that he rejects this. He says, number one, it doesn't make sense. How can you say that? Because, now I'm up here, and all of a sudden it's unfair. So who does the Nizak get restitution from? Who pays him back for the damage? He says, but he says also maybe you can say from Lundus is that once that even according to that side, once the damage is set in motion, you can't retract it. So just once you set the doors unlocked and it kept going, it's considered your mamon. So at that time, that's your mamon. That's enough to be mechayev you. It'll relate back to the original time. Rav Nachum Perkovich starts to say that this chakira, that chakira could very well be a machlokas rishonim. And so he says that the Mishnah says, what was the Mishnah said? The Mishnah said that tzad shoveh between the before Abbas Nazikin is that shmirasan alecha. You have to guard them. You have to watch them. So you're supposed to guard it. So the Muke Yosef says that this line is coming to exclude two cases. Number one, if you did a proper shmira, then you're potter because it's an ones. And number two, actually the second case the Muke Yosef brings. But the first case the Muke Yosef says is that if you give your shore to somebody else to watch, you give it to a valid shomer. He's listed. He's good. He's a good shomer, right? You give it to watch, and that shomer was poshaya, and that shomer was negligent. So the Nemuka Yosef says, in that case, the shomer is chayiv and the owner is potter, because the owner was not poshe in the watching, so long as he gave it to a proper shomer. However, the Ravid in Hilchos Niskei Mamon, Perek Dalad, Halacha Dalad, he's Mesupak. And in the end, he goes back and he says that maybe in this case, the Baal, the owner, is still Chayiv to the Nizak. Then the owner can then deal with the Shomer afterwards. He's still Chayiv. So says Rav Nachum Perkovitz that maybe the Nemuka Yosef is holding that the Chiyuv Tashlum is based on a Choser Shmira, a negligent Shmira. And in this case, I did the right thing. I gave it to a valid Shomer, and the animal, I gave it to a reputable Shomer, and there's no Pshia in my Shmira. And therefore, I don't have a chiyuv tashlumin. The shomer will not have to pay the nizak. But he says, maybe according to the Ravid, again, he says it's not muchrach, but he says, maybe according to the Ravid, the chiyuv is because my mama did damage, and the shmira is a ptur. Here, my mama did damage, and so kol sof, there was no shmira. So there was no ptur, and therefore I would still have to pay. And I would just have to deal with the shomer afterwards. Hey, those are just a few sugyas that take the yeshiva's months. Okay. We go to the Gemara. So the Gemara says, Mi dikatoni avos. The Mishnah mentions arba avos nazikin. So it says avos. Michlal, that's mashma di ikatolos. Or tolados, depending on how you read it. Michlal is ikatolos. Just like Shabbos and other cases, there's avos and there's toldos. So the question is, now, tolosei and kayotzeben, is the tolda, whatever the tolda is of each avos nazikin, does the tolda have the same din as the avos, meaning that it would still have to pay the nezek, the same type of nezek that the ab will pay. Meaning, if it's a tolda of shor, right? A shor, the first three times it does negicha, then it's a nechatzi nezek, and then the fourth time it comes a muad. Let's say there's a tolda that also have that. But what about other issues where there's no such thing as muad? Shane has to pay nezek shalom right away. So tolda to Shane, you have to pay nezek shalom right away. Are the payment obligations the same for the tolados as they are for the avos? So the Gemara says, we're going to try to compare it to other cases where there are avos and toldos to see what the rule normally is. The Gemara says, "Lagabi Shabbos tzanam." When it comes to the melachos of Shabbos, the Mishnah says, "Avos melachos arboim chaser achas." There are 39 avos melachos, and it says over there, "Avos mechal de ikat toldos." The avos and mashma that there are also toldos, and in that case, toldoseyen kayotze behen. By Shabbos, the toldos are the same thing as the av, meaning your chayiv. Whatever the chiyuv is, yuchai skila, whatever yuchai for violating the malacha, even if you do the talatos, right over there, talosin kayotze behein, lo shna av chatas, doesn't matter if you had hasroi and did a malacha, an av malacha b'shogeg yuchai b'korban chatas, lo shna talada b'chatas, so too a talada also is chai b'chatas, lo shna av skila, if you do b'meza yuchai skila, lo shna talada skila, it's also skila. So therefore. If they're the same thing, ma ika bein avu tolada. So what's the difference between avu and tolada? What's the difference? Marva there answered, nafkamino. The difference is the ilu avich de avos. Let's say you did two avos, two separate categories b'shogeg b'hadode hadode, meaning you did it in one helem with one stint of shigaga. Inami shnei tolados b'hadode hadode. You did two separate tolados in one helem with one state of shogeg. Then Michaya kol chata v'chata. You'll be chayav to bring a carbon for each malacha that you did. But the ilu avid avid talada today, had you done the av and the talada, let's say you did the av of bishul and the talada of bishul in one helem, you would only be chayav once. Lo mechayav ela chata. You'd only be chayav one chata. So the whole point of avos and toldos is just to say that if you do an av and a separate tolda of that av, you're only chayav one carbon. As opposed to doing an av and an av, you'd be chayav two carbonos. So Gemara asked, Ulu Rabbi Eliezer, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the Mechayev Atolada B'Makom Av, he says no. He says, even if I do the Av and one of its toldos with the Av, I'm chayev two karbanos. So therefore, am I kari le Av, am I kari le Tolada? So what's the difference between the Av and the Tolada? There's no halacha difference. There's no halacha difference. Rather, hachta have the Mishkan chashiva kari le Av. The malachas, or the actions that were done in the Mishkan, are considered chashiv. And therefore, they're called an av malacha. But hachte lo havi b'mishkan chashiva kari le tolda. If it's not considered, if it wasn't in the mishkan, or it wasn't machlokes in the girsa, but if it wasn't an important avoda in the mishkan, that is considered a tolada. So that's the only difference according to Rabbi Lezer. But we see from here that the avos, the toldos are kayotzeben. When it comes to Shabbos, toldos are kayotzeben. So made by us too, the toldos of Nezikin are also kayotzeben of the avos, meaning they have the same dinim. But then the Gemara brings down, what about the next different case of avos and toldos? Got by tumos, tnan. When it comes to tuma,
another second reference to Maseches Kelim today. So Kelim Perek Aleph, Mishnah Aleph says that there are three Avos HaTumos. Avos HaTumos, what are they? There's the Avatuma. Remember, we have Av, Rishon, Avi Avos is a Nes, and there's Avatuma, Rishon, Sheni. But the three Avos HaTuma are, number one, Sheretz, one of the Shrutz, any of the eight Shrutzim that are mentioned in Parashat Shemini, right, that dies, and if you, and there, anyone who touches the nevela, the carcass of that sheretz is an avatuma. Ve'shichva zera that comes out from the body is considered an avatuma. Utamei meis, someone who touches a tamei meis, because the tamei meis is aviavos atuma, that whoever touches it is considered an avatuma. So you have three cases of avatuma, right? And we know for them that toldoseim lav kayotze behem. In that instance, the tolada, what comes out from them, is not kayotze behem, because they're an av. What they touch becomes a rishon. Doesn't have the same dinim. The toldos don't have the same dinim as the avos. So they're saying lav kayotze behem. The ilu av mitame adam vekelim. An av atuma can be mitame people and kelim and utensils. The ilu tolados, when it comes to tolados, something that only comes to a rishon, it's only ochlim nu mashkim mitame adam vekelim lo mitame. It can only be mitame foodstuffs and other drinks, but it can't be mitame adam and kelim. So the question is then, so we have one person that says the tolos are kayotze, but like the avos, and one person that says they're not. So the Gemara asks, Hachamai, what's the story by our case, by the Nizakin? Are the tolados similar to the avos? So Amar Rav Papa, yesh mehen kayotze behem, v'yesh mehen lav kayotze behem. It's split. Some tolados Nizakin are like the avos, some tolados Nizakin are not like the avos, and now the Gemara is going to spend some time trying to figure out which ones are like the avos, which ones are not like the avos, and via that exercise, when they come learn a bunch of dinim about each of the avos and each of the categories on the zikin. Just a quick thing: Tosos and Dimarasa Tanur Rabbanon. Sorry, Tosos and Dimarasa the Ilu. He asks, "What do you mean that the tolados by tuma alav kayotze behen?" I can find a case where the tolda by tuma is kayotze behen. What's the case? Tosos says, "The cheref, cheref areihu kachalo. If you have an aviavos tuma, you have a dead carcass." The sword, machlokas, whether it's only metal or anything like that, let's just say that sheet, that the sword that touches that, because cherev harehi kukhalo, it becomes an aviyah bosatum also. Anyone who touches that cherev becomes an av.
That's the exception.
What? So maybe it's the exception that proves the rule, you say. But still, nevertheless, you can still find one case where it is. So the Gemara, so Tosas answers, no, but it's not completely, doesn't go your way. It goes a different way. He says it's not completely like the av. Like the cholol, it's like the cholol that it creates a rishon, but cherev harei kucholol cannot create another cherev harei kucholol. Meaning, if it touches another cherev, it doesn't become an aviyavos anymore. So it's not exactly the same thing. Someone here is up on their mishnayos and kelim, so it doesn't become the same thing. So it's not considered the exact same thing. So therefore, by Shabbos it's kayotze behen, by tumah it's not kayotze behen. Our case, our mishnah, we're going to say some are, some aren't. So now the Gemara is going to go through, and the Gemara says, Tana Rabbanan, Shalosh Avos Netmru Bishar. There are three categories of damage, three Avos categories of damage mentioned by a shor. What are they? There are Keren, which is goring, right? Attacking and goring. Vishain, and eating or eating in the field of somebody else's. Viregel, and also just trampling, regel type. So the Gemara says, Keren Minolan. Where do we know, what's the makor that there's the concept of Keren, of goring, when it comes to a shor? Tana Rabbanan, because it says in the Torah, it says Ki Yigach, full pasuk is in Shmos Chav Aleph, pasuk Chav Ches, Ki Yigach Shor Es Isha, Ein Negicha Ela Bekeren. We say that it says Ki Yigach, Negicha Yigach means Bekeren. How do we know that Negicha means Bekeren? Shneamar, as the pasuk in Malachim Aleph says, VaYas Lo Tzidkiyah Ben Kenana Karni Barzel. He made these iron horns. Vayomer, he says, Ko Amar Hashem, but Eilat Hinegach Es Aram. With these, I'm going to be Menageach, I'm going to Es Aram. So you see that Negicha goes with a Keren, because he made Keren, but these are going to be Menageach, we're going to be Hinegach, Ad Kalosam, until we destroy them. So you see from here that Negicha is Keren. And also, the Omer, the Pasuk in Devarim says, Bechor Shoro, Har Dalo, Vekarnera Eim Karnav, Vahem Amim Minagach. Here's the Bechor Shoro with the Karnera Eim, and with the Karnav, you're going to be Minagaya. You're going to gore. So the Gemara asks, wait a second. What do I need the second Pasuk for? What do I need the Pasuk in Dvarim for? Mai Omer. What's the point? The Chitim, and maybe you'll say, Divrei Torah, maybe Divrei Kabbalah Yol Finon. I wasn't satisfied with the Pasuk in Malachim because that's from Navi. I want to get a Pasuk from Chumash. Right, the chitim divrei tov, divrei kabbalah liyafinon. So tashma, therefore tashma, bechor shoro hardalo. So Gemara says hamelafu. We're not learning out what that keren from the pasuk of Malachim Aleph. that's giving us what the definition means. It's like looking up in the dictionary what the word means, right? Ha-melafu, gilim milsa ba'amahu, the negichach b'karenu. It's just like gilim milsa. It's just telling us what the definition of the word means. Why can't we use Navi to tell us the definition of the word means? So, Ella, so what do I need? Why do I need the second pasuk for? What's the reason for having the second pasuk? So, ma'al tema, you would have thought, ki palig rachmana bein tam levein muad hanimili bitlusha. Right? There's a chiluk between short tam and short muad. Again, a short tam, the first three times, as a gores only pays chati nezek, or other dinim that we'll learn later. But short muad, it pays nezek shalim. Right? So maybe you would say that the chiluk between tam and muad only takes place by a keren tulusha, because the pus a keren tulusha means a non-attached keren. Because what does the pasuk in Malachim say, which is being used as the gilui milsa? It talks about he made karnei barzel, which is so you would think that maybe the chiluk between tam and muad is a case where the shor picks up a non-attached piece of horn and uses that to attack. But aval b'keren aval b'mechuberes ema kulamo edesi. Maybe by the keren, his own corn, you would say it's always muad. Why? What's the habamina? Because it's very mishuna. It's a mishunadic type of mezek for an animal to pick up another item, another set of horns, put it in its teeth, and then go attack. So the first three times you say only pay a chatzin mezek. The fourth time it becomes hergel and it becomes a muad. But you would say that if it's on its own body, maybe it's more realistic to say that's part of its nature. Yeah.
Is there a problem that the tam and muad was just thrown in
here
and said that any information whatsoever?
It's the first discussion. You're just going to learn all the halachas like are going to come out. Yeah, because you've done before you did the Gemara, you've done all the Mishnayos of Bava Kama, and you've done all the Psukim, and you've done the Chumash, and we've gone in order, and now we know all the Mishnayos, and all the Mishnayos tell us the chiluk dina between the tam and muad.
Mishnah explains the
Nezikin,
at least in some fashion.
Right, so it's giving us the Nezikin, and then if we kept going through the Mishnah, it's probably somewhere else it says. No, you're right. If this is going to bother you, just wait.
That's what I'm saying.
Right, it's just going to.
It's always bothered me.
That's
the first time.
Right, still bothers. Okay, I hear. We're just throwing this halacha without any introduction. But you would say, so you would, again, so Elamau de Tema, ki pligi rachmana ben tam, lemuad, hanimili, bitlusha, ava b'muchuberes, ema kulam oedasi, so tashma, b'chor shero, hardalo, which is talking about actually muchuberes, that the din of the Torah, of the separation between the chiluk between tam and muad, also applies to the case of attached horns. Okay? So that's the din of Karen. So Gemara asks, Tolda de Karen Mahi. So what is the Tolda of Karen? What's the subcategory of Karen? So Gemara says, Negifa, Neshicha, Revitza, Be'ita. Negifa is, put, I guess, rubbing up against the Dabar HaNizuk, right? I'm sorry, how the article translates to Negifa. Pushing, okay. So pushing. Neshicha, biting. Revitza, I think, is squatting on them in order to break them. And Be'ita is kicking. Kicking the items. So the Gemara asks, "Maishna negicha the karile av? Why is negicha called an av? Because the pasuk says ki yigach. It's beforeish in the Torah. Ki yigach shoras is isha. Therefore, it's considered an av. And any masik that's mentioned in the Torah is considered an av. So Gemara says, aye, but negifa pushing namiksiv. It's also in the Torah. The pasuk says in Shmos Chapal Flamen Hey ki yigach shor ish es shoreil. When it comes to talking about the shore damaging people, it uses the word negicha. When it comes to using the shore damaging other shores, shoros, it uses the word negifa of negifa. So Gemara answers now, hi negifa negichahi. Negifa in that instance means negifa. It means goring. It doesn't mean just pushing, it means attacking or goring. Why desanya, we have a brisa that says, pasach binegifa. The Torah starts with the words, the lashon of negifa. The pasach says, ki yigaf shorish. B'siyem binegicha. It comes to teach, and then finishes the pasach with negicha. It says, oh, no, the kishor nagachu. Using the nagach after negifa, it doesn't say kishor nagachu. It says korn nagachu. Lomalach to teach you zohi negifa, zohi negicha. It's both the same thing in the lashon of the Torah. Negifa is negicha. So the Gemara says, okay, so maishna gabe adam diksiv ki yigach, umaishna gabe behema diksiv ki yigof. So what's the difference in the lashon then? Why by a person talks with negicha, and by an animal attacking an animal says negifa? So the Gemara says, Adam the Islam mazla, a person has mazla. Machlokes what that means, but a person has mazla, come to explain, a person knows how to protect himself. Person has logic, has sense. He knows how to protect himself. So ksiv ki yigach. So therefore, the Torah uses the lashon of yigach because the mashmos of the word negicha is the shore came out of nowhere and attacked him. But negifa, it means it's an actual intent. So that's more difficult to guard against. But negifa, we're going to say, is that it's just derech akroi. The shore is standing next to the wall and rubs itself up against it and knocks it down. That's considered negifa. That's not going to necessarily happen to a person. Therefore, a person who knows how to protect himself, it's only going to really get damaged by negicha because that's more of a surprise attack as opposed to an intentional attack by the animal. But behemah de lesle mazola, a behemah that doesn't have mazel, doesn't know how to protect itself necessarily, ksiv ki yigof. Then it says ki yigof because that can, even something that happens derech akroi can happen to him. So, and the Gemara adds, umilsa agev orche kamashmalan. And it comes to teach us another aside din out of this, that de muad le adam have muad le behemah. But muad le behemah lo have muad le adam. Come to teach us that if a shor becomes muad to killing or attacking a person, does it three times, even though if it only attacked a person three times and never attacked an animal, then on the fourth time it attacks an animal, it's considered a muad. Because it became regular by attacking a person because a person has a mazel. So if you attack a mazel thing three times, it also is muad for the behemoth which doesn't have mazel. However, the vice versa, the other way around, if it became muad to a behemoth, meaning attacked animals three times, then the next time it attacks the person, then it's not necessarily a muad. And what's it done by a muad that hits kills a person? The pasuk says that you have to be killed, which means you have to pay kofar. But if your animal attacks an animal three times and then attacks a person, you don't have to pay the kofar that first time because it's not considered muad. So it's also sugi over here. So Gemara Tosfos over here brings down that if an ox gores a chamor, a shor, and an adam, three different types of behemoths, not the same behemoth, three different types of behemoths, right? It's three different minim. Then the ox is muad l'kol. Then it's muad to everything, even to an adam. It's muad to everything. It's not exactly. It's not picky. It shows that it's nogeach everything, even an adam. So the adam's included, and therefore it's muad l'kol. But if it was but the din of the Gemara here is that if the animal was nogeach a chamor, a gamal, or a shor, three different minim of animals, then it's muad to all animals, but it's not muad to adam. It's not muad to a person. So again, if you're nogeach an adam shor v'chamor, then you're muad l'adam, even though it wasn't nogeach a person three times, and even though a person is different because it has a mazel. But the Nemuke Yosef on Daf Lamed Zayin, he brings the shita of the Rama, who argues that even in this case it's not muad l'adam. If it's chamor or adam, that would make the animal muad l'chol behemos. But in order to be muad to a person, which is the way I think we were learning Pshat in the Gemara, in order to move to a person, you have to do three negichos on a person. So this is also the way that Tosfos Rebbe Peretz learns. So what's the machlokas? Again, the machlokas is, if you do chamor shor adam, are you muad to a person? Or in order to be muad to adam, you have to do binogeach on a person three times. So the Sefer Beis Lechem Yehuda brings down Rav David Pervarsky, who says, what's the story, what happens when an animal becomes a muad? Is it a revelation of its nature? Or it's basically a nature versus nurture type thing. Does it mean when you know Gaia three times, now do we say, Lima Freya, we know that this is a muad animal. By nature, it's a damager. Or do we say, no, after three negichos, now it's become used to being no Gaia. And therefore, going forward, we now know that it's a no Gaia. So Tosfos will hold that the Gimel negichos reveal the inherent nature of the shor. Its nature is to be a nakhan. With three negichos, we know that it's a no Gaia. So once it's nogeach all different types of minim, it's nogeach all of them. By nature, it's a nogeach, it's a nakhan, and that includes a person. But the Rama would hold that no. What happens is when a shore is nogeach three times, it creates a hergel in the shore. The shore now becomes used to being nogeach. So therefore, since an adam has mazel, it can't become used to giving. I don't know how this. It's not muhrach, but David says it's not going to create a hergel in adam. Unless it hits the adam three times, it becomes a hergel to everything else. But the Beis Lechem Yehuda asks, that's not so. What it doesn't make sense. Maybe you could say that if it hits three different things three different times, it's not muad to anything. So he doesn't necessarily agree with that with Bertavi, but just broke down what Bertavi Pravarsky says. Okay, so now the Gemara says that was we just learned that those were the toldos, those were the tolados of that was that. Sorry, that Negifa is a tolada of Kshor of Karen, and then the Gemara says. Neshicha, one of the other ones that we mentioned was Neshicha, which was biting. So the Gemara asks, wait a second, why is biting a tolda of Keren? Neshicha Tolada Deshenhi. It should be a Tolada of Shane. Why? So the Rashba explains that it should be Tolada of Shane because it's doing the damage with its teeth. It's biting. And Tolshane is eating the food. So it's doing the action with its teeth. So the Gemara says, no, that's not the definition of Shane. Right? He says, lo, Shane yesh hanala hazeka, ha ein hanala hazeka. Shane doesn't necessarily mean that it's only damage done by its teeth. The definition, the category of Shane is the animal does a certain type of damage that it gets benefit from. Just by biting, there's a machlok, though, what if he bites into a kikar, into a piece of food? But just by stam biting another animal, there's no inherent pleasure that the sword derives. It's just biting. It's just doing damage. Just attacking. I mean, it's not like a kid who bites the kid and says, "Oh, now I got your back." I don't know if the shore has that in its nature. But Shane, what you have to have, there has to be benefit to the shore. Eating, there's a benefit. It's eating. It's satisfying its hunger. But by Shane, there's no. So just because he did it with the teeth doesn't necessarily mean that it falls under that category. So he says, the Shicha Tolada Shane, he lo, Shane yesh hanala zeka, ha ein hanala zeka. So therefore it's a Tolada of Karen. Because Karen is the same thing. There's no hanala hazeka. Okay. So the Gemara says, okay, what about Revitza ubiita, right? One was squatting and kicking. Again, the Gemara says, has a halavi Tolada regal he. They should be a Tolada regal because they're done with the feet. What's regal? Regal is trampling. As it's walking in the marketplace, it stomps on different kelim. That's regal. So too here, revitza and beita also are done with the feet. Kicking is obviously done with the feet. Should be tolada regal. It says no. You're not understanding that it doesn't go by the body part. It goes by the category. What's the category of regal? Lo, regal has zeka matzui. Hani ain hazeka matzui. One of the dinim of regal is that it's commonplace. When the horse is, or the animal is, or the car, or whatever, is driving through the marketplace, then it's commonplace for it to step and trample on other items. But kicking and squatting on things is not considered matzoi, and therefore those are toladas or karen, which is also not considered matzoi. And so long as you're not mua in any of these types of actions, you don't have to pay chatzi nezek, as opposed to regel, which you pay nezek shalom right away. Because so therefore you see that these are toladas of karen. So the Gemara, but we also said the toladas of karen, but they all have the same din. They pay nezek first three times. They pay chatzi nezek fourth time and onward. You pay nezek shalom. So the Gemara says, bring back to Rav Papa, Ella todosein lav kayotze behen. The Amar Rav Papa. Ahai, on which toladas is it going on? Ilem ahani, if we're talking about the toladas of Karen, there's no reason to distinguish between them. Maishna Karen, the kavanos lahazik. The av of Karen is that it's kavan. This is now we're getting to what the definition of Karen is. The Gemara explaining that Karen is the animal has kavanah to do damage. It wants to do the damage. Vimamoncha, it's your mamon. Vishmirasan alecha, and you have to watch it. Haninami, also too by these toladas. Kavanah lahazik, vimamoncha, ushmirasan alecha. So what's the difference? There's no difference. There's no nafkimi. There's no difference in the in between Karen, between the av of Karen and the tolda of Karen. So the Gemara says, okay, you're right. Ein hachanami. Ella tolada de Karen ka Karen. The tolada of Karen is like Karen. Remember, the Papa said some are like the av and some are not like the av. So we're going to say by Karen, the tolada de Karen ka Karen. And chi ka amar Rav Papa, and Rav Papa said that there are some of them that are lav kayotze behen, that's ashen v'regel. He's talking about the case of Shane Varegio. So again, the Gemara is going to go through the whole. Maybe it's a place to stop. The Gemara is going to go through the whole thing of where do you learn out Shane Shane. But maybe we'll say something else outside. Where do you learn out Shane? And try to go back and forth. So just to say one thing. There was a Tosfos. We didn't mention it during the Shir, but the Tosfos in Amud Aleph brought down a Mechilta about Bor. It says about boar. The two psukim when it comes to boar. Toso says, "Mechilta tani ki yiftach v'chi yichra." There's actually there's digging a boar, they're digging a pit, and there's opening up a pit. So and that's your yichaya for doing either one. So the question is, what happens? That's one of the obvious is boar. What happens if you cover a pit up? You cover a pit up. Now there's no more boar anymore. So you're putter. So Rav Baruch Ber Leibowitz in the Birchos Shmuel says, what happens when you cover a pit up? Right? Does that mean now that you did a proper Shmira? you were shomer the pit, or does it mean that now you were completely masalik? It's not in the masifta. That you were completely masalik. You're completely masalik. It's in the base lechem yehuda. You're completely masalik, and there's no more damage there at all. It's a protection, or is it a silik, a removal of the damage? He says, what would be a nafkamina? A nafkamina would be if someone dug a pit, right? Someone dug. Reuven digs the pit, and then Shimon comes ahead and covers the pit. And despite the covering, the animal weighs a million pounds. And despite the cover, so the animal falls in. The animal falls into the pit despite the covering, even though the boar is covered. Now, if you say that the kisoy is a ptur because there's a shmira, then there was no shmira. The animal fell in anyway, right? There's no shmira. Look, there's only a shmira because the bialim here, the bialim didn't do the shmira. Somebody else did the shmira, so the bialim would still be chayev. But if you say that making a covering over the pit removes the existence of the pit, so here if the animal falls in, even though somebody else put the cover on the pit, then you would still be potter because it's a removal now, just an onus. Right? Just that was just a little thing to fill in some time. All right, we'll stop here. Everyone should have a good day, and again, welcome to the new world of Nezikim.